Are you ready to think big and act bold? Then you are in the right place. This is Innovative Entrepreneurs, a podcast that will bring you the stories, insights, and tips from some of the most successful and innovative entrepreneurs in the world. I am your host, Erica Bailey, and I am here to help you start, scale, and sustain your own entrepreneurial journey. Let's get started. Today, I am thrilled to welcome Ron Koningsberg. He is the president of American Investment Properties. He has a degree from American University and NYU. Love it. And he is a leading expert in commercial real estate. His skills in strategy and finance have boosted Long Island's property market. Gotta love that. As a certified CCIM, Ron's approach emphasizes continual learning from each deal. His name is identical with innovation in real estate, and he joins me as we dive in to the story of a man shaping the industry.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it, Erica. Let's see if we can help your listeners maybe be successful at what they want to do and take some of the skills that I've learned over the years.
Absolutely. That is what this whole thing is about. So I'm so grateful that you're joining me.
Makes you all grateful too.
And we kind of already chatted. I think we're going to get along here. It's going to be fun. First thing I want to say is you won an award recently for the third year in a row. What? Share that with us, please.
Sure. That was the Crexy Platinum Award. So we didn't get the gold. We didn't get the silver. We didn't get the bronze. Yeah, I guess that's how they do it. No, it's the third year in a row, and that's awarded to the top 1% of commercial real estate brokers. I love winning awards. I'm always amazed when they come.
I love winning awards.
I love winning awards, and it's fun, and it's cool when they come. But I don't really feel like it defines me, you know? I really feel like, we'll talk about my struggles in life, how dyslexic I am. Things I've learning disabilities and how some of those I've learned to overcome, and some skills that I've learned along the way that the truth of the matter is I want to share with my two sons, Drew and Chase, and I wrote a book basically to them. It's how to be successful in business and life. I called it Power Broker because that's what you in my line of industry aspire to. While I am a successful real estate broker, there are many. I mean, I'm one amongst many. So, 6% have the CCIM. I have my master's from NYU, top 1%. There are a lot of successful real estate brokers, but I am happy that I've reached a good level. And I want to do more.
That is awesome. Well, you should be proud. I mean, this is an achievement. I love the fact that you said it doesn't define you, which right. I think is an important it's important for us to be humble and understand that, the awards, although they're fun and although they look pretty, it's our character that defines us, not what's,
that's right,
etched in a beautiful piece of glass. But they are beautiful awards. And for three
really
years
cool. And right. The truth is the one I'm most proud of is really Long Island Business News Commercial Broker of the Year in my marketplace in Long Island. If you can win that, I've only won it once. I'm kind of hoping to win it in 2024. We'll see. I won it in 2017. But yeah, those are awards. But like I said, they don't define me. First and foremost, I'm a father. I'm a business owner and a commercial real estate broker salesperson. But let's see how we can help other people reach their goals.
Absolutely. What does CCIM stand for?
Certified Commercial Investment Member. It is the highest level of commercial real estate plateau. Only 6% of all commercial real estate professionals have this designation. It's a think tank out of Chicago, Illinois, and I was awarded it in 2015. It's one of the hardest things I ever did. That in grad school.
Oh, I can only imagine. I got my master's and that was the easiest thing in the world, man. A master's is so much easier than my bachelor's, but I haven't gotten much past there. Okay. So in your journey from Arthur Andersen and establishing now your own brokerage firm, what specific challenges did you encounter in that transition from like the corporate world to entrepreneurship or owning your own brokerage firm?
I think I'm fortunate that my dad, his family was They owned a very small luncheonette. It was like a tiny little building. And, you know, they owned or they rented a coffee shop in it. It was under 1,000 square feet. And I know it well because a year or two ago, I was able to represent the owner of the property to sell that when my family was in, you know, maybe 60 or 70 years ago. And my aunt said that's where the coffee shop was. My dad wanted to be more. He left. He was scared. He became a life insurance salesman. And what happened was, Erica, he would read books like How to Win Friends and Influence People. And he handed me too. Me too. And he handed those over to me. And then he would read books like How I Raised Myself from Failure to Success in Selling by Frank Betka. Okay. I mean, I can go on with the list and the list and the list because I love those books.
Yeah.
And those really changed the way and defined the way I look at things. My father ended up owning his own life insurance business, and he sold investments. But my brother and I were students of Dad University at the dinner table. And Dad University at the dinner table was reading, which was hard for me because I was dyslexic, so I turned to audiobooks very quickly. But I really grasped on to a lot of these concepts that I think made me a little bit more entrepreneurial. I know the name of this podcast is Innovative Entrepreneur. I think it's very important because that's the direction each one of us are going. More and more entrepreneurs, you know, are happening every day as we become more and more our own business owners.
Finding our own whys too. Do you mind sharing with me? I mean, dyslexia is a real challenge and you have gotten really far in your life.
You know, the bottom line is dyslexia completely defines everything about me. In my core and everything I've done is because I have this learning disability. What does that mean? Well, you've had some degree of success. Of course, I have. And the truth is I've had that degree of success in my interpersonal skills. I can't read. And what happened was in the beginning, kids that can't read, they're told in many ways, you're a dummy. Now, you may not be a dummy. You may be really bright. You may have a lot of skills. But I'm 59 years old. I'll be 60 next month. In 1964, the year I was born, or in 1970, when I was 6 years old, and they were teaching learning, I was laughed at. It's fine, because I think I'm better at interpersonal skills that I've learned on my own than other people. I think it's because of that I found success in sales, which are skills that I think that everybody wants to learn more about. You know, listen, the one thing, and I wrote a book on this, okay, because I want my kids to read Power Broker. 85%, almost all of successful entrepreneurs, almost all of successful business owners in America today started in sales. So you tell me, what came first, the entrepreneurial spirit or the skill set that enabled them to be successful? I think it's the skills that you learn on your feet when you're a salesperson. You are forced to learn communication skills, negotiation skills, relationship skills, problem solving skills, you know, resiliency, active listening, teamwork, and adaptability. If you want to be successful, you know, being a salesperson, these are the skills. Now, sales isn't really taught in our country. How do you learn sales skills?
By doing it.
I guess
there's lots of, you know, people you can learn from now, and these days you can literally Google how to sell and there's probably a million and 10, you know, YouTube and TikTok videos about it. But I think you have to learn it. It's truly a learned behavior from repeatedly engaging with other people.
My opinion too. So I was really fortunate. My dad was handing me off these books, How to Win Friends and Influence People, Zig Ziglar, Earl Nightingale. I was reading all these books and I was taking them in and I believed it. I bought in. I think these skills have helped me be a good salesman. I do. I think the skills have helped me sell products. when I was in college and I was selling my trucking business. I'm going back to American University in the 80s when I was selling the party promotion. But now I sell commercial real estate. I sell shopping centers, office buildings. But these skills, I think they're transferable. I think that if someone said, you know, we got to go out tomorrow and sell airplanes, I would learn about airplanes. I'd figure out, you know, what really excites me about them, the nuances. I think I'd be successful communicating and selling, you know, anything. And that's what I would hope for anybody listening to this podcast.
I hear you. 100% I hear you. And I think, I mean, yes, if you could go sell an airplane today, it's not just about the enthusiasm that you have for whatever it is you're selling, but more of an understanding of what the client or the buyer, you know, what their pain points are. And if you know that what you are providing brings value and that their pain points, you know, are being attended to.
Right. How do you get to the pain points? You know, when I was, you know, about 5 years ago, my brother said to me, "You're not listening." I was like, "You don't have to listen." "What do you mean I'm not listening?" Love my brother. Great guy. Great guy. He was making a point. Making a good point. He said to me, "Listening is the most active thing you could possibly do." I was like, "You don't have to. Your ears are connected to your head." That was the most important thing my brother ever said to me. It's chapter one in my book, An Active Listening. And he said to me, "People just want to be heard and understood." He said, "I want you to actively listen." What's that mean? Put away your distractions. Put away my distractions? What do you mean? I'm doing it. You're not multitasking. You're not listening very well. Focus on one thing. And then he said to me, "Listen, if you can mirror somebody, if you could repeat back how they feel and what's going on with them, reflectively listen and try not to interrupt them and ask questions and go deeper." And I did. For one reason or another, I just listened to my brother. And for a month, I just listened. I just asked questions. My relationships, my business, everything started to change. And I haven't stopped.
That just blew my mind. Okay, now, everybody scroll back the past.
Right. It's the closest thing you could have really to establish a relationship. Like when you know, when you said to me this morning, and I've listened to your podcast and I heard your struggles with your life, you know, with Jason and your kids. In particular, I think the one that really, for me, that really captivated me was Tyler. How you and your mom came together. You know, when he was a baby and you handed him off in college and you and your mom were going to college. But I had to learn to listen. Listening's exciting. It's interesting. You have a great, fun life. But you got to try to listen. It's active.
Learn to listen. Okay. So do you have...
That's chapter one.
That's chapter one. All right. There you go.
That's chapter one in the book. You want to know what chapter two is? All right. We'll talk about positive thinking.
You got it. Okay. Positive thinking.
Let's talk about positive thinking. What if I told you the FBI did a study that you're 29% smarter when you have a smile on your face?
No.
29% smarter when you're happy and you're thinking positively. Yeah. The emotions. Yeah. It's not smarter. What it is perhaps you're limiting your ability to think clearly if you're not thinking positively. Okay? I don't know if it's making... Yeah, maybe that's not a fair statement, that it's not smarter, that you are 29% more capable of using your brain to its best capabilities. How you think about a problem is more important than the problem. So think positively. It is a quote I'm trying to find from who, because... it's Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, page 35 of my book. If you look at a problem and say, "Wow, we can't do this," I promise you, you're not going to do it. But I promise you, Eric, if you brought me a problem, the first thing I'm going to say to you is, "Oh, we so got this." Yeah.
Boom.
We got this. Boom. We got it. How? I don't know. Oh, it's me. We'll figure it out later. I don't know. We'll Google. We'll YouTube it. We'll figure something out. So no, how you look at a problem?
It doesn't have a solution. You just have to be creative. You have to think through things. And sometimes the solution takes a really long time to get to. But
I will tell you this.
People, you know, come to me. If you have a problem, I tell my team, you have a problem, great. What I want you to do is think through the problem, and what your next steps would be or what you feel the solution could be, and then come to me with both. Because I'm hoping that what they're doing is they're realizing their
problem solving.
Their problem solving abilities, and that they are capable of doing something that they thought only I could do. You know what I mean? I want them to recognize their value is equal playing with mine.
Right.
And so
that's one of the nine skills. So, like, you know, when we speak about the book Power Broker and these nine skills that 85% of the entrepreneurs have, that help in sales, problem solving is one of the nine. Now, we could talk about the others. Let's talk about problem solving because it's so amazing. I wish I was on a debate team. I don't know if my high school even had a debate team. It was the last thing on my mind, I promise you, in high school. The last thing. I was sports and girls and fun.
What'd you play?
Truthfully, I played lacrosse. It's very big on Long Island.
Yes, it is. I've heard.
Very big. I played a lot of baseball. I played every sport and still do. I love sports.
There you go. Love it. I'm a big sports fan too.
I'm a competitive person, but getting back really and truly to problem solving and being able to act and problem solve on your feet, that's a debate skill.
Okay, yes.
You think of a debate team, they're not screaming at each other. They're finding ways where their argument is more compelling.
Okay.
That's a skill on your feet. These skills are self-taught. I think that these conversations that you and I are having are very important because these are not taught in school. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I don't care. Maybe they don't know these skills, but let's talk about negotiation. Ask an average person, are they a good negotiator? I negotiate for my life. This is how I make my living, okay?
Okay.
And you're saying, most people will say to you, do you win the negotiation or lose the negotiation? I don't win nor lose.
Okay.
I don't win nor lose. No. I determine what our common interests are. We all want this deal to happen. I don't care what anyone says. If you're at that table, you want this shopping center, and this guy wants to part with the shopping center. And then we have some conflicting interests. What are the conflicting interests? Well, the roof needs repair.
Okay.
It's expensive. And the seller wants the buyer to pay for it, and the buyer wants the seller to pay for it. And we have compromise. And that's where I come in. As a broker, I'm going to find a way where we're going to compromise this. We're also going to use criteria. What's the industry standard? What have they done in the past? What's happened on the last 734 deals that I've closed?
734?
Office buildings, commercial buildings. No, there are brokers. I think Bob Knackles into 2,000 to 3,000. Yeah, that dude's amazing. So you have to, these are things that aren't being taught that, I cover in the book that need to be learned. Mm-hmm. These are skills. I think it's like one out of three salespeople that comes out of college succeeds, and two out of three don't. And the reason why there's so much frustration is that one person is really trying to learn on their feet how to learn these skills. Mm-hmm. I would love to teach Drew and Chase. I hope I'll do everything I possibly can, how to effectively communicate, how to listen, how to negotiate the four C's of negotiation, how to build relationships. I mean, these are the skills I want them to have, problem solving. Resilience. Resilience is everything. You don't think you're going to have challenges to meet your goals, we wake up every day and there's challenges. So active listening, teamwork, and adaptability. But yeah, in the book, we speak about some things like enthusiasm.
Okay.
I feel like I have that naturally now. I do. Yes. People say, you're pretty enthusiastic. I didn't start out my life enthusiastic. I think I read many of these books, including, books like mine. Mm-hmm. And I think that I find excitement in things.
I do too. I find joy in the littlest things. And I think that's why I enjoy sharing our stories so much, is because if I know that I can make one person smile because they've just learned something from us, like, that's what brings me joy. It doesn't take much. And so I have a lot of enthusiasm for the world because I can feel the joy from just little things, right? It doesn't take something big and exciting for me. For me, it's just, if I can provide value and love out into the universe.
I know you're doing that. I've listened to your podcast. And I think one of the quotes on one of the most recent ones was, if you can help enough other people get what they want, you'll be able to get, you know, what you want. That was in one of your last podcasts. And
it's true.
You're quite welcome.
It's true. And I can tell you an example. We'll get back to enthusiasm is a big one, but it's interesting because we've met these women through events here locally. They're Megans, and they just started up a nonprofit for neurodivergent individuals who need help. So basically, anybody who's on the spectrum, you know, with cognitive issues. And, you know, I've met them a couple of times just in the neighborhood, and they come to me for help, just wanted to know what it would take to start, like, do a website and, you know, some social media marketing. And I knew that they had nothing. I knew that these are two teachers who are trying to start and launch this beautiful foundation. Mm-hmm. And we're like, we're not charging. We're going to do this for you. Like, we want to help you. Mm-hmm. And then literally 2 hours later, I closed a really big deal. I was like, I had nothing from them in return. I just wanted to help them. And then all of a sudden, something good happens. And really, that is how the world works. Kindness, positive thinking, enthusiasm, confidence, being willing to jump in.
I will tell you this. Biggest struggle I ever had in my life was I went through a divorce. Went through a divorce. It happened. Worst happened in my life. Worst happened. The richest, the smartest real estate owners, guys really with the deep pockets, the top real estate brokers came out of the woodwork to be kind to me. And they all said the same thing. Oh, man, this hurts. You're getting destroyed. They're taking everything from you. I was like, I know. Everything was gone. Anything material, any money, kicked out of my house. My relationship with my kids was temporarily disrupted. And you know what all of them said to me? Huh. They all said the same thing. Get a positive attitude. Get back on your feet. Start rebuilding. Yep. Put that behind you. And I was bathed in anger. I was miserable. Oh. But eventually I took what they said, and I did do that. And I would tell anyone going through anything right now, because we all are.
Yeah, something.
We're all going through something really difficult. Really difficult. It could be anything. I look at my own dad, who's 88 years old, and I worry about that guy's health every minute. And my mom is 84, and she's spry. I should worry about her, but I don't have to. We're all going through a lot of different things. So if you can just think positively about it, or at least remember, you know, to try to think positively.
This episode is brought to you by CWG Marketing and Design Studio,
a full-service advertising, marketing, and web design agency that specializes in bringing you big results. Visit us at cwgdigital.com for your marketing needs.
It's very interesting because you're saying, you know, we're all going through something, and I really don't know if I even shared this or not. You know, when my father passed, it was like,
how long ago was that?
January 11th. He had a tumor, a 4-inch tumor in his lung. They couldn't even define what type of cancer it was, but it was definitely lung cancer.
I'm so sorry.
And he battled for like eight and a half months. My mom, you know, it's interesting because my mom worked her butt off. My mother is like the epitome of what I hope to be like in regards to dedication and hard work. Ethics, right? And she worked and worked and worked up until she was, you know, 70, I think. And she finally retired, and they went on a cruise, which was their favorite thing to do. And they came back, and 5 days later, he was hospitalized and told he had cancer.
So sorry.
And so he was like, he felt really guilty because, like, he, you know, my mom finally retired. Now it's finally time for them to spend time together. And I felt really bad for him. But the 9 months, right, that he was going through this, I'm here. But I went back to Arizona, you know, as much as I possibly could. I think it was about 18 weeks.
How far is that trip from Wyoming to Arizona?
It's an hour and 15-minute drive, hour and 20-minute drive.
That's not terrible.
Well, to the airport.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
No, and then the airport, yeah. So, I mean, it's It's like, for me, it takes almost a full day just to travel. So I would go out. I think I was gone 18 weeks out of the 8 months or what it was. But the point I guess I'm trying to make is the positive thinking. So I get there and, you know, he's like, Erica, I'm miserable. And I knew he was telling me, I don't want to do this anymore.
Right.
I need your help. And right. So I had to, you know, I was there to help him be a voice, because Mom and Jen, man, they helped him with everything. I mean, they were great, but he needed somebody to speak for him who was okay with just saying goodbye. And so I'll spin this around to get to my point finally. But I could have taken that, my dad asking me to do that, a sorrowful thing, right? And it could have been like, oh my gosh, my dad asked me to help him die. Like thoughts that will tip and did go through my mind.
Well, that's not easy.
I had to take some rest and say, you know what? My dad trusted me.
I mean, he
loved me. And I know that. I've known for 44 years that my dad loved me. And that he was my friend and that he trusted me.
Oh, good, huh? And at the end, when he needed somebody to confide in and ask help, but the most important thing in his entire life, his actual life, he said, Erica, you're going to hear me and you're going to help me. And quite honestly, you know,
it was beautiful.
The world. Right.
It was beautiful. And that's what's that positive mindset. It was hard as, you know what I'm saying? It was hard. It was hard to look at that and be like, okay. But the moment I
see, because really everything in your body is the exact opposite of that. I want you to live forever. I don't want any of this to happen. I want to be here and you live forever. But if you're saying to me this and I'm hearing you, then, you know, I'm hearing you. It's just no part of that listening skill, which I'm doing a little better at. You were there for him. Yeah.
So that's why I'm the positive mindset. Like it does. It's not easy. It's not easy to have the positive mindset and to continuously think positive thoughts. Until you are like, you know, a master at mindset, which I'm actually learning from my.
I think it's right. I think it's a muscle, Erica. I think it's something that you exercise. Okay. I do. I think it's a muscle. I think it's something you practice. I think it's something you exercise, something you get better at. Yeah. But I think all these skills are, you know, active listening, enthusiasm, positive thinking, goal setting. You want to be happy? Set a goal. It's just that simple.
You want to be happy,
set a goal. The hardest part of the goal, sure, of course. Hardest part of the goal is I want it to be something you really want. Okay, so now we're setting a goal you really want. You're confiding in me and yourself and this piece of paper. And you're saying, you know, I really, really have always felt, like, for instance, me, I've always felt dumb. I have. And no matter what I accomplish, no matter how many shopping centers, office buildings I sell, I'll always feel like that dyslexic six-year-old boy. So one of the things I wanted to do, one of my goals, was to write a book. I don't know. I couldn't read them, but yet I wrote one. It just was such a big goal for me. So now I'm excited about this goal, okay? And it's very specific, okay? It's measurable. And I wanted to do it by the end of last year. I started early in the year and I spoke to people who were going to help me, and one guy couldn't do it. And I fell flat on my face, and I found somebody else who said, let me show you. I can help you. I can, you know, walk you through it. So I found a helper, and then, it started to become specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and timely. Basically a goal must be something that's relevant. For me, writing a book meant so much.
Yeah.
Timely, I wanted to get it done by the end of the year. We did. We finished it in December. So it's got to be specific and it has to be written. So, but people said to me, you know, what are you doing writing a book? I loved it. I love the fact that I've written this book. And just that simple, Erica, when I say to you, you want to be happy, set a goal, but don't set a goal somebody else wants. For instance, if your boss tells you you want to sell more casseroles, maybe you don't want to sell more casseroles. Maybe you want to write a book. Maybe you want to learn how to speak a different language. Maybe you want to learn how to swim. I don't know. Whatever you want in your life, that's the hardest part. But I promise you one thing. You make it a SMART goal, you know, specific, measurable. Okay. So next chapter, I'll take you through one more. You ready?
I'm so excited. Yes. Yes.
All right. Let's talk about arguments.
Arguments.
That's a negative. What would I be doing talking about arguments? Why would a salesman or a commercial real estate broker or a guy who's talking about positive thinking talk about arguments? It's inevitable.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
You and Jason, Mr. Bailey, you're going to have some arguments. How do you do arguments? What is an argument? How do you win an argument? You don't. How do you? You don't avoid them. Don't avoid them.
No. But if it's not done right, it's like you both lose anyway.
Right. Okay. So I treat arguments like merely an explanation. First thing I want to do is avoid the anger. Not easy.
Okay. Okay.
Merely an explanation. Okay. Erica, I know you want to go to the mall tonight. I can't because this. Jason says that to you and you say to Jason, no, we're going to the mall tonight. And
you know me all so well already.
Okay, well, whatever the argument is merely an explanation. Let's take the emotion out of it and let's talk about this more like a debate with critical thinking skills. We got to take the emotion out of the argument. So you go into an argument, everybody's heated, everybody's upset.
Yeah.
How do we make this better? You promise me. You got to try to remove the, you know, the anger. Not easy. Mm-hmm. Not easy. Not easy. And then you look at it like it's merely an explanation. We got to go to the mall tonight because the kids want to go. I understand. But then they also want me to make a lot of, you know, whatever it is, mm-hmm. you work it out. But this is something, first thing, 90% of your arguments are going to be settled by taking the emotion out of it. Take a breath. That's why you're taking an hour, talking about it in a half hour. My brother's great that way. Anytime we're in a heated conversation, he goes, you know what? I want to talk about this. And he knows the answer in advance that he wants to talk about it in an hour or two. So let me get right back. Sets his timer, calls me back in 2 hours. All the emotions are gone. We know we work through it. Remove the emotions and remember.
So sometimes you have to walk away to remove the emotions.
That works best for me. That's one way.
Okay.
You know, knowing is not well for me.
As an emotional human being, like I'm trying to close my eyes and I'm thinking, I'm working very hard on this, by the way, but I am. I'm a Pisces. I'm an emotional human being. I was spoiled. I'm an empath. I have all this stuff that goes on in my brain.
Perfect. So you know what you are. Then let's talk about these great qualities because I want someone in my life, Erica, that has all those great qualities, that's passionate, that's emotional, that's living life to its fullest. That's the kind of people I want around me, but I agree that might be a hindrance mm-hmm. to an argument.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing that as an adult, that your dad counted on, that we can all count on, that you're very, you know, accountable, we could also know that you could look at this and say, I have to cool off. I got to try either time, whatever I need to do, I need to remove the emotion because we can't go to the mall tonight because best you possibly can, merely as an explanation. You hear Jason's side, he hears your side. Hopefully you're both active listening.
That's brilliant, actually. And that does help me in not just personal relationships, but in, you know, in business relationships and, you know, when you're trying to negotiate, especially me, you know, my clients, I've had most of my clients for a decade. You know what I mean? And the ones that I bring on, this new form of communication with them sometimes can be a struggle.
Tell me about the form of communication. Tell me about the struggles.
The struggles are, A, we're not hearing each other.
Why?
I've got to tell you, this recent one is because I didn't understand.
Well,
so I thought
let me ask you this. Let's talk about communication because okay. If I'm going to tell you that I'm a student of communication, there's one thing I cannot leave out, how we communicate. And yes, we can break that down into a simple math formula.
Okay.
What? Wait a minute. What? Whoa, 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 whoa. 55, 38, 7. Write those numbers down.
Is this the lottery?
Better. Better. Right. This will make you money for the rest of your life. You don't need it as lottery. No. 55% of communication
okay.
Is body language and facial expressions.
Okay, okay.
55% is body language and facial expressions, okay? 38%
okay.
is through tonality. How we say something. Go back to your room. Well, that's scary. Oh, my God. I better get to my room. You know, okay, daddy. Okay, 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 okay. You understand how you say something. Like, go to your room. Am I going to go to my room? No, dad just wants me away. You know, how you say something. Okay. So now we have 55% is your body, face, your tone. And then the other 38% is tonality. So we're at 93%. What's left? 7%. Now, what do we have in that 7%? The message.
Okay.
Have the words. Go to your room. Now, how do I say go to my room means either dad's really mad and I better get to my room, or he doesn't care. He just wants to leave me. He just wants me to leave him alone for a minute.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
So how do we confuse it in a perfect world? Let me show you how. We text message.
I was just going to ask, because you can't tell tonality or body or facial expressions.
We email. We have a perfect
system. I don't think emojis really define clearly enough.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a big emoji guy. I mean, I'll try. But I do a lot of smiley faces because I just want them to know that I am, you know, I'm not bad at it.
Smiling in the message, right? Because you can't give that
tonality. So, right. So the people that gave us this text message system said, this is not going to work. I mean, you're going to be very confused. So I'm going to give you some emojis to try to help understand something. Text messaging is not communicating. You're leaving out 93% of your ability to communicate as humans. If you communicate properly through text messages, emails, or anything of that nature, I give you credit. But I'll tell you one thing. I never met the man who walked up to his girlfriend and asked his wonderful girlfriend to marry him through a text.
I know the man broken up with somebody via text.
Yeah, no one's happy.
Okay. No one's happy.
No one feels hurt. So the bottom line is 55-38-7. If it's important, show up. If it's important, make a phone call. That text messages that you're sending, and I understand it's very convenient, and I use it. Believe me, I use it. It's an excellent tool in business because it creates a little bit of a personal bond.
Yes, yes.
If you and I are texting, and there's a certain, you know, certain personal bond that I have with my buyers and my sellers. But most of it's numbers.
Yeah.
Understand, the buyer came up $12,000, $20,000. There's not a lot of inflection there.
No.
On that one, that's a fact. Those are words.
Yeah.
You want to communicate properly? You want to be emotional? Hard to do it through text. It is hard to do it through emails.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I learned so much from you. It's insane. Okay. So one thing, your book is more about interpersonal skills than it is about real estate. So
right.
Why did you feel like, well, I think we kind of already answered this.
I see where you're going with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, the common thing is anyone would ask that question. And I have been asked that question. I have a master's degree from the finest commercial real estate program in the country, New York University. It's hard to get into, more hard to accomplish. I have my CCIM top 6%, mm-hmm. platinum broker top 1%. Why didn't I write a book on commercial real estate? All my competitors do. Why did I write what I'm passionate about? Because I wanted it to matter. I wanted to write something that was unforgettable. I wanted to spend that goal to be really meaningful to me. This book is meaningful to me. These skills are meaningful to me. I want my kids to understand these 9 skills. I want them to, you know, look at life differently through the skill set that I've outlined in this book.
Okay. This is what I took from that. Why you wrote a book rather than commercial real estate. One thing you said, all my competitors do. So all your competitors are writing, you know, all this stuff about commercial.
Great stuff. Brilliant men.
Yeah, brilliant men. But you're going in
a different
direction. Though men and women. I apologize for that.
No, it's primarily. No, yeah. My industry has a lot of men. It does.
So your competitors do. So one, you're standing out from the crowd. You are well-known. You are this man who's on the top of, you know, on top of his game. So you're standing out differently. But You wanted it to matter.
That was my why. That was my why. I wanted something.
Shows your personality and your character right there. I'm like circling these words because that is who you are. Like,
that's who I am.
Wanted it to matter.
I wanted it to matter. I still want it to matter. I want it to matter 20 years from now, 50 years from now. Listen, if you're watching this, if you're listening to this, if I have not written the only book on how to be successful in business and life, I'm telling you right now, How to Win Friends and Influence People is amazing. It was written in 1926 by Dale Carnegie. I think it's been sold 4 million times, translated into every language on the planet. I'm
and
saying my book.
A digital age one now, too.
How digital age. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. That one I listened to recently and it blew my mind.
Better.
Same concept.
Same concept. The first book is close to 100 years old. Right.
It's the exact same thing that he taught, though. They were just applying it to how we can use what he taught over 100 years ago now in an age that's completely different. But the messaging and the actions, it was all the same.
We're still human.
And exactly.
The common denominator is that we're still human. I believe I've taken my life skills, my sales skills, my entrepreneurial skills, and written a book that encompasses, that has it all. It has How to Win Friends and Influence People in it. How I raised myself from failure to success in it. Some fun, some laughter, and most importantly, this, I think, really demonstrate how much I wanted my kids and listeners. I wasn't done just writing it. I wanted there to be a workbook at the end. Actually do it. Each chapter has a workbook. Why? Because that's not how we learn. We learn by doing. Go through the workbook. Practice.
Active learning.
Repetitive. That's how I learn.
Maybe I'm just learning. I mean, learning. That's how I like to learn. I think I absorb it better.
Me too.
If I read something and then I take notes, or I listen to a lot because I'm a mompreneur. I have to do laundry. I have to keep up. So I listen to audiobooks while I'm walking around doing the eating and the cooking.
All right. I'll leave you with one last one. You ready? Last one.
You're spoiling me. Okay.
One more. Last one.
Last one.
I want to talk about fear and life outside your comfort zone. I'm saying life happens. And really the things that we want, we have to be willing to be open-minded to living outside of our comfort zone. If we want change, inherently, that change has to come with a little bit of newness, discomfort, fear. Listen, I really like our interview, but I was nervous. I haven't done a lot of podcasts. I was nervous. You were nervous. Mm-hmm. I think we're doing great. I had to challenge my comfort zone, to get on here today. But I also know that I have to challenge myself. And while I may be uncomfortable on a podcast 3 weeks or a month from now, there's something else I'm scared of. There's something else that I need to challenge myself with. So I ask everyone to out there saying, I want change, but also understand, well, change, even for the very, very much better, there is a comfort zone. There is a learning. It is a little uncomfortable. I'm not saying dive at cold water every single morning. I see people doing that on the internet. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying, next podcast, I'm a little less nervous. I'm a little more open-minded. So life comes with resiliency. It also comes with the acknowledgement that a lot of things we want are a little bit challenging and outside our comfort.
And a little scary. Wow. You actually got I have these little tearies in my eyeballs right now. And I don't know why. I think that was just powerful. I mean, the fact that
comfort zones.
A man is willing to say, hey, I'm scared, or I was scared. Or
I was scared. I was nervous.
Yeah.
I was nervous.
Because I'm looking at all the stuff you're doing. And I'm like, oh my gosh. It was impossible.
Who's this guy? Right. Who is this guy?
Yeah,
who's this guy?
Imposter syndrome. Because I'm like,
yeah.
Why does this guy want to, talk to me? And then you say you listen.
You're important.
To the podcast.
Well, listen, I don't need to, I don't need to acknowledge that your dad did for all of us. So it's just a bit about that.
Thank you. Okay, so we're going to drop or end this with, who is the entrepreneur or who inspired you most?
My dad.
Your dad.
My dad. They asked Tom Brady, a little boy asked him the other day. They said, the little boy said to him, Tom Brady, you're the greatest quarterback that's ever lived by a large margin. You're everybody's hero. Who's your hero? And I watched him look at the little boy and say, my dad. My dad, and he started to cry. My dad is my hero. My dad, he's paved the way for me to take the skills. He opened his own business from that luncheonette. He taught me these skills, taught my brother these skills. My brother is one of the finest attorneys in the city of Miami. He is the go-to guy for commercial real estate attorneys. Top 1%. While I may be top 1% commercial real estate broker, he is one of my idols. He taught me to actively listen. So these skills that my dad taught myself and my brother have turned our family from really being modest earners to being exceptional earners. It's the skills.
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh my gosh. You have been so much fun to talk with, Ron. Like, you're so chill and down to my level and understand the things that I do try to.
Oh yeah, I'm dyslexic. They made it easy for me. They told me I was dumb for my first 10 years. So anything else is an upgrade. Now the reality is
the hardest thing from that, sir.
Right. Right. Well, maybe
a little bit of magic.
Okay, maybe they made me feel that way and I'm taking this magic. And but again, I think it's a muscle. I think it's something we all can exercise. And, you know, again, that's why it's in this book, but it's not the only book. You know, obviously it can't be the only book. That's silly. There's a lot of books out there. But I encourage everyone to, first off, acknowledge 85% of the current entrepreneurs and business leaders started their career in sales and to learn these skills.
Do you think that somebody taking this book by learning these skills that you're teaching in this book and not even really and much about real estate, do you think somebody interested in getting into that 1% that this is one of the books they should read to get
that
Think and Grow Rich is?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, definitely. But it's not the only one. Think and Grow Rich is my dad's favorite book by Napoleon Hill.
You know, yeah.
But again, that's been his whole life. If I asked him right now, he'd say Power Broker.
Of course he would.
He's biased. Yeah, I encourage anyone to do the exercises at the end of the book.
There you go. Well, again, so where would you like, you can go ahead and tell everybody where you would like them to come find you. Obviously, we'll have everything in the show notes. But
sure. LinkedIn and Facebook, my name is Ron Koningsberg. On TikTok and Instagram, it's Real Estate Ron.
Real Estate Ron. Ooh,
Real Estate Ron. That's a cool one, right?
You go. Now I have to see how awesome your social media is because I know a company who's really damn good at it.
Oh, really? Yours. Oh, I didn't realize that you were just, okay. I didn't know more about that. I've been listening to your podcast. I'm a little new to the social media. I really started when I finished this book. You know, I've only been at it for a month or two.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. But I think, you know.
Give you some tips.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I want to learn how to transfer emotions, not just. You know, when I speak to people, active listening is really top of mind. I want to better connect with people.
I love that.
I loved your podcast and I'll keep listening.
Thank you. Hey, you're doing a great thing. You're doing a great thing. You're teaching your boys all of the characteristics and values of a true, a good human. Good human.
I dedicated the book for all the fathers out there who want to protect and teach and encourage their children as my father did for me, as I do for mine.
My heart just melted.
Yeah, fatherhood's the most amazing thing ever. It's a privilege.
All right, Ron. Thank you so much.
We'll chat soon.
Wow, what a great episode. I hope you had as much fun as I did. If you want more of this goodness, make sure you subscribe so that you get notifications for future podcasts. And if you found value from this, please share it with others. You can visit our website at cwgdigital.com. This is Erica Bailey. I am your host, and I will see you next time.
This episode is brought to you by CWG Marketing and Design Studio, a full-service advertising, marketing, and web design agency that specializes in bringing you big results. Visit us at cwgdigital.com for your marketing needs.